want you to know the Spirit of the Lord is in this room tonight. And there's some people that the devil has been flat out lying to you. He's been telling you you're worthless, you're no good. You've messed up, you've went too far. That is a life in the pit of hell, and God wants you free tonight. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He wants you to know He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. He loves you. He showed up for you tonight because He wanted to show you how much He loved you and how much He cares for you. Anytime the enemy comes in and tells you you're worthless, anytime the enemy tries to lie to you, you just rebuke him in Jesus' name, because he's a liar. He's the author of lies. And there's no truth in him. We just sung, we want truth. But the truth is that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. In the worst shape that we could ever be, he died for us. So when the enemy comes in and tells us that we're not worth it and we're no good, that's a flat-out lie, because he died for us when we was in the worst shape we've ever been. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you for moving in this place. I thank you for moving in this place. I thank you that you're doing a work that only you can do. A preacher can't do, a singing can't do, but a work that only you can do. And I praise you for that. I honor you for that. God, I pray that you'd sweep through this place. Holy Spirit, sweep through this place. Set people free. Minister to people. Deliver people. The enemy has had people bound up long enough. It's time for them to be free. God, you want us free. You want Christians free. Move tonight. Move tonight by your Spirit. God, I thank you for the work that you're doing, and you promised in your word that when you begin a good work, you will complete it. You will complete it. And I thank you, Lord, for divine appointments. I thank you for bringing people here from the north, south, east, and the west that's supposed to be here, that's supposed to be touched, that's supposed to be ministered to. God, I give you praise for that. And God, as we go into your word, this is a strong word. This is a word that can set people free. If they'll get this and listen with spiritual ears, they can be free. They can process this thing and see how the enemy has tried to divide and tried to destroy them. His tactics are not new. We're not ignorant to his devices. But sometimes we allow him to mess with us, mess with our mind. That's where the battle's at, in the mind, through the thoughts and through the emotions. And so tonight, Lord, we're going to bring those thoughts captive in the name of Jesus Christ. We're going to cast down every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against God. And we're going to walk out of here free tonight. We're going to walk out of here free tonight. Not bound up, not yoked up, not with anxiety, fear, and stress, but with the freedom that Christ came that we could have. And I give you praise for it tonight. Thank you for already moving. I just ask you to continue to move throughout the rest of this service. Move over there with our middle school and our youth, and move over there with our nursery, move over there with our children's church. God, may your Spirit move in those places and you touch our kids. We want our kids fired up and filled with the Spirit of God, doing the work that you've called them to do, even as children. So we pray a blessing over this whole campus tonight, Lord, that the Spirit of living God will reign in this place. No other spirit is allowed. Give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. That's one of them. You can be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm excited tonight because I'm already seeing God do what His Word says He's going to do. You got your Bibles? I want you to turn to John chapter 13. We've been talking about the battle in your mind. And I told you 2 weeks ago, we had prayer last week, but I told you 2 weeks. No, we had prayer the week before last. Last week, the ladies shared. But I told you a couple weeks ago that we're going to continue in this. In the book, there's some powerful stuff talking about thought processing, the way we see things, the way we hear things. And I believe it's just right on time. God is always right on time. Amen. If we're faithful to listen to what He says and pray, He's going to show us some good things. So I want you to go to John chapter 13, and we're going to talk about the battle in your mind. We're going to go over some things that's going to help you. Verse 1 in chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now listen to this. Verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Who put it in his heart? Y'all can talk. The devil, Satan, put it in his heart, right? So Satan can put things in your heart, but he comes to your mind through your thoughts. And those thoughts, once he puts them there, you put them to your heart, and then when they get in your heart, you mess up. I've told you time and time again, the Bible says that your heart is wicked, and you shouldn't listen to your heart. Who can trust your heart? And that's what happens. When we was singing a song earlier about guarding your heart or whatever, that's what we got to do. We got to guard our heart, keep our hearts pure so Satan can't come in. Now listen, this guy saw Jesus raise the dead. He saw Jesus cast out devils. He saw Jesus heal all kinds of sickness, but yet he was in the inner circle and he still betrayed Jesus. Now, I know he was the son of perdition. I know that God said this was going to happen. God knew he foreordained this before the world was. But let me tell you something. Judas had a choice. God knew what his choice is going to be, just like he knows what your choice is going to be. The predestination that people teach that God chooses, well, Josh is going to be saved, but Brad's not going to be saved, and Heather's going to be saved. Nah, God don't do that. You have a choice to serve God, to give your life to God, and you also have a choice to entertain thoughts. Y'all better help me. I preach all night. We'll lock the doors, and you won't go home till tomorrow morning. Your thoughts is what gets you. And I believe that with this, that Judas was tempted in his thoughts, and that the devil came to him in his thoughts, telling him that Jesus wasn't really who he said he was. You better get a little bit of money out of this if you can. Now, in my mind, I can't comprehend that, seeing what he saw. But in my mind, I can't comprehend people in a church that God has touched and delivered and set free and saved their families, and then them go out of church and never come back again. I can't. That blows my mind. All right. Y'all going to help me preach tonight? And so now I want you to go to Acts chapter 5, because it's in the Bible many times about stuff like this happening. And it talks, these two times it talks about your heart. And you got to be careful that you have to cover your heart. I've said this, I got some young girls in here and some young guys, mostly young girls, that people say, well, follow your heart, honey. Heck no. Heck no. Don't follow your heart, don't follow your emotions. You'll be shacked up with some goofball that don't even have a clue what's going on in his life, and he'll mess you up. You don't follow your heart. You follow the Holy Spirit. Your heart will get you in trouble. Amen? So chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. But a certain man named Ananias, which with the Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Nobody told him to sell this land. Nobody asked him to sell this land. They just chose to sell a possession. And he kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. For all of you young people, it means she knew about it. She was privy to it. And it says that his wife was privy to it and brought a certain part. He didn't bring it all. He brought a certain part and he laid it at the apostles' feet. People were taking and buying and selling stuff and bringing it and giving it to the apostles so that they could feed the poor and they could take care of people's needs and stuff. That's what was going on. Well, Ananias seen all this going on, so he decided to do it too. But instead of bringing everything, he got in his mind through Satan that, hey, I'm going to hold some of this back. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You can't fool God. But this was real. This really happened. Satan came to Ananias, and this is what I believe. I believe he came to him and said, look, bro, this may not work. You better keep some back in case this folds, at least you have something to fall back on. That's the way my mind thinks. What else would it be? Why else would he have sold it and kept some of it back and then go and lie about it? You can't lie to the Holy Ghost. And then what happens, his wife comes in a little bit later. She has no clue what's going on. And so Peter looks at her and said, did you sell this property for this price? And she said, yes. And he said, the same men that drug your husband out are coming to get you. And she dropped dead in the church too. Oh, Lord. What about if I preached on tithe one Sunday morning and people just been lying about tithing and all this, and the Lord just like, okay, I'll fix you. Don't look at me like that. If you don't tithe, you're robbing from God. And I don't never talk about that hardly ever. I will be preaching a message on that soon because you need to know it. You need to know how to walk in his blessing and not his curse, okay? But I don't talk about that all the time. So if you visit tonight, I don't talk about it all the time, but it is true. Amen? All right, so let me show you this. So you got this Ananias and Sapphira that did this. Now, we're going to jump over. I want you to go. I've got some more scripture. A lot of Christians, not people in the world, a lot of Christians struggle with their thoughts. And I'm going to read out of this book here in a few minutes. It's called The Bondage Breaker. I'm going to read out of this book. These thoughts become real to people, but they're demonic. A lot of them are demonic. They're not of God and they're demonic, but they think because they're so real to them that it's real. And it really ain't real. I mean, it's demonic real, but it ain't a spiritual real. And so they get caught into this demonic mess. When it was real, they know, they felt it, they sensed it, they heard it, they saw it. And they're caught up into this demonic mess, and it is demonic. It's not of God. Anything that don't line up with God's word is demonic. But yet they believe it because it was real to them. Hallelujah, I'm going to preach this or die. So I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, everybody running to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to look at verse 1. And this is what it says. These Christians, now I ain't talking about the world, these Christians have all these thoughts and stuff going on. Some of you, there may be some of you in here. I'm not asking anybody to say anything, so keep thy mouth shut. But some of you, you hear voices maybe. You have all this stuff. Well, I'm going to teach you some things tonight and show you that a lot of that is demonic. It's demonic. A lot of people in Broughton tonight, it's not because they're sick. It's not because they got a chemical imbalance. It's because they got a devil. Okay. Yeah, I'm on Facebook and everything else, and I'm going to get bashed for that. But it's all good. Send it to my wife. She won't read it. Chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively. That means with force. That in the latter times, we're in the latter times. If you don't believe we are, you have fell and bumped your spiritual head. We're in the latter times. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. What does that mean? They're going to, it means what it says it means. They're going to depart from the faith. They're going to fall away from the faith. There's going to be a great falling away. Scripture teaches it. But yet some people believe, you can't fall, you can't lose your faith. You can't fall away from your faith. Read your stinking Bible. You can fall away from the faith. And it says in the last times, and we're seeing it everywhere, that these people shall fall away from the faith, and they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's all kind of doctrines going on in the church today that are doctrines of devils. They're not of God. I was speaking with Shelly the other day, and I'd never heard of this thing that she was talking about, to where people, church, not little churches, big churches are saying, just ignore the devil. Let me tell you something. You ignore a big sore on your foot, and you're going to lose your dang foot. If you ignore the devil, you're going to end up losing your soul, or your children will. Now, I want to share something with y'all that is firsthand. This ain't somebody else said something to somebody else and somebody else. But I'm telling you, the way I have seen people fall away, I have had a friend that I know was filled with the Holy Ghost, tongue talker, whatever you want to call it. He was a spirit filled. He loved the Lord. I know he loved the Lord. He used to do ministry with me. We prayed together. We ate together. We fellowshiped together. He loved the Lord. His kids, because of him, his older adult kids, come to church. They came to this church. And they got involved. And I know that the Lord had touched their life. And then their kids, which would be his grandkids, got in church, come to church, was in our youth group, went to the ramp, got fired up, filled with the Spirit, just jacked up. In the last 10 years, all of them quit going to church. None of them go to church. And now their grandkids are so messed up, they don't know whether they're coming or going. You say, do you blame the grandparents? Absolutely. I do. God's the one that's a judge. But yes, I blame them. Because why? They sat in this church and they heard me talk about, you quit coming on Wednesday nights and then you're going to end up quit coming on Sundays. And you quit coming on Sundays, you're going to say you got a relationship with the Lord. You're going to watch it. Some of you watching right now, and if you are, God bless you. But you watching it, you should have your butt here at church instead of watching it on dang TV. We might end up just taking it off just so you'd have to come to church. Don't look at me like that. There's a lot of people watching right now that could have their tail in the church right now. We need you and you need us. Amen? But that's the way it starts. You start missing on. You come all the time. You come all the time. You love what the preacher's preaching. Hallelujah. Well, somebody gets your feelings hurt. Preacher says something you don't like. Oh, it gets long. It's going to get dark early and all that. You got all kind of million excuses, and then the devil gets in your thoughts, and you begin to think, I don't need to come to church on Wednesday night. So you quit coming on Wednesday night. You lose that fellowship. You lose that word. Different teaching on Wednesday night. Then the next thing you know, Sunday mornings, boy, that bed feels awful good. You're like Bedside Baptist or Assembly of God or Church of God or New Vision, whatever you want to call it, and you decide, I'm going to just stay in the bed. I'm going to just chill out. It just feels better here. I can watch it on the internet. And then you get these thoughts going through your head, and these thoughts become a reality to you because you think it's real. Then people don't care about me. I couldn't tell you how many times people said, you're the only one that's contacted us, Pastor. What about the rest of the church? That's why I told the men the other night. The men started asking me. Some of them said, we're so-and-so. We're so-and-so. I said, why don't you find out? Why don't you contact them instead of me doing it all the time? You contact them, and you let them know that you care about them. Because people stay out of the church, and then they're sitting there thinking, well, nobody don't care about me. And the devil gets in their mind, in their thoughts, and they say, nobody don't care about me. Why should I even go? I'll find another church. And you know what? They don't find another church. They stay at the house. I said it, and you know I'm telling the truth. The shoe fits, wear it. If it don't, pray for somebody. Doctrine of devils. Lying, deceiving. In the church. He ain't talking about in the world. He's talking about in the church. So all these things happen. So I want to read something. I don't particularly like to read stuff. But Neil Anderson in his book, The Bondage Breakers, and I got to tell Shelley that we was doing this. We did that in Tennessee. But in this book, in this thing where he's dealing with thoughts and stuff, I want to read it to you. So first of all, you don't think I'm making it up. And secondly, he explains it a whole lot better than I can explain it. So I want you to listen. This is what happened. So y'all ready? This is a pretty good bit of reading. He said, why isn't the Christian community more aware about the battle that's in the mind? For one, I can't read your mind, and you can't read my mind. Thus, we don't have any idea, unless we have the spirit of discernment. He said, we don't have any idea what's on your mind. And he goes on, he says, what's going on in your mind and other people, they don't know what's going on in my mind, unless they have the courage to share about it with us. In many cases, they won't because of society. There's a lot of people that won't tell you what's going on with them because they're afraid of what you're going to say and what you're going to think. And you know what? They're right. There's a lot of people, they really tell what's going on. People's going to look at them like they slapped crazy, and they may be, but they need help. There's a difference between somebody being slapped crazy, talking about something, and you not helping them, and you just making fun of them and looking at them like they are crazy, than you reaching out and trying to help them and help them through what they're going through. Am I making any sense? Hallelujah. In many cases, they won't because of society. Most people would assume they are mentally ill. Consequently, they might tell you about their negative experiences, but only with the right person will they dare to share what is going on truly inside. Are they mentally ill, or is there a battle going on for their mind? If we, out of ignorance, we're not ignorant of Satan's schemes, 2 Corinthians 2:11, we will likely come to the conclusion that any problem in the mind, if we're not careful, we'll come to the conclusion that any problem in the mind must be the result of a chemical imbalance or a flesh pattern. We talked about that the other week. That's a sin pattern. What's the first thing that happens if somebody goes to the doctor? You tell them you got some type of thought or you got this, that, or another. They're going to throw you on medicine so fast to make your head spin. Now listen. I'm going to go ahead and get this over with. If you're on medicine, that's between you and God. Amen? Don't be getting mad, hating a preacher, leaving the church because I said that this is true. And this is true. The first time you go to the doctor and you have anything mental going on or you're depressed, you got anxiety, they want to throw you on medicine. This means yes. That look you're giving me is, it's true. So don't get mad at me. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you it's true. But listen to what he says. Psychologists and psychiatrists routinely see patients who are hearing voices. Chemical imbalance is the standard diagnosis. If you go into a psychiatrist and you tell them you're hearing voices, they're going to put you on medicine. Right? I believe our body chemistry can be out of balance and cause discomfort. We all know that that can happen. I've seen it happen with people in our church where their pneumonia level went up too high or certain things happened and they started hallucinating and stuff like that. You knew what was going on with them. And also, this next one is very close to home right now, and hormonal problems can throw our systems off. How many of y'all ever been pregnant? Did it not mess you up? Okay, your hormones, and I'm not saying guys ain't got hormones, but you ladies know what I'm talking about. You can get hormonal, and you can get all whacked out of your head, and the husband saying, where'd my wife go? Or the husband, wife, you know what I'm saying. I done made half the women mad, half the men's been mad. Now women, no, I'm kidding. But listen to what he says. That happens. You can have a chemical imbalance, but everybody that has problems, it ain't chemical. And chemicals ain't the solution to a spiritual problem. Boy, I'm preaching on the serpent's head tonight. But I also believe that there are other legitimate questions that need to be asked, such as, now, y'all, this is where I was talking about, where when I read this, I'm like, and we'd read it before, but it didn't hit me like it did this time. Y'all listen really good, okay? He said, I believe there's other questions that need to be asked, such as, how can a chemical produce a personality or a thought? How can a chemical produce a personality or a thought? God gives us our personality. There's four personalities, and God gives you that personality. God gave you that personality. And if you take a drug that alters your personality and makes you be somebody else, that's not God. Ooh, I'm going to take my shoes off. How can our neurotransmitters involuntarily and randomly fire in such ways that they create thoughts that were opposed to our thinking in the beginning? In other words, they give you this medicine, and then you're not even the same person anymore. You're not thinking the same way you was. You don't act the same way you was. How is that right? Oh, boy. And then it says this. Are there natural explanations? We should remain open to any legitimate answers and explanations. But I don't think, this is Neil, I don't think we will ever discover comprehensive answers unless we take into account the reality of the spiritual world. Amen? And he goes on and he says this. When people say that they are hearing voices, what are they actually hearing? This is good. The only way we can hear audible sounds with our ears is when there is a sound source. You drop a plate in the floor, everybody in here probably, maybe Kevin at the back, but he'd probably hear it. Everybody in here is going to hear the same sound, right? That's because this sound wave moves from the source through the medium in the air and strikes our eardrum. Everybody hears the same sound. Now follow me, I'm going somewhere. So, everybody hears the same sound because it hits the eardrums, which sends a signal to our brains that says, hey, some goofball just busted a plate. Y'all supposed to laugh right there, I'm trying to. physically speaking, listen, physically speaking, not spiritually speaking, physically speaking, that is how we hear. A sound wave goes through the air. It hits our eardrum. Our eardrum sends a signal to our brain. We just heard something, and then you know what you heard, or you think you know what you heard. Everybody there hears it. Okay? Now watch this. Physically speaking, that is the way we hear, but voices that people hear or the thoughts that they struggle with are not coming from sound sources. Listen, they're not coming from sound sources if others are around them, or they would be hearing the same sound. So in other words, if you're sitting here and John Doe's sitting here and you're praying for them, they've been having struggles and demonic mess going on. You think it's demonic. They think it's something else. And you're sitting there and they're saying, did you hear that? I'm hearing voices. No, you're hearing voices and demonic thoughts is what you're hearing. You're not hearing, because if I'm sitting there beside you, I should be able to hear the same thing you're hearing. Because that same sound wave that's bringing it to your brain or bringing it to your eardrum and taking it to your brain is the same one that I'd be sitting right beside you hearing it. So if somebody sitting beside you, did you hear that? Did you hear that? You need to just pray for them right then. Boy, y'all are giving me some looks. Because you know why? Because some of you in the middle of the night, you've had these thoughts and stuff. Do you not think the devil can come to you with thoughts like he did everybody else, just like he did Judas, just like he did Ananias, just like he did Jesus? And what happens is you entertain these thoughts, and then the next thing you know, they become reality to you. There's people that's walking in a reality to them that was demonic, but they believe it was God. And they need help. We don't need to kick them out of the church. We don't need to go on a Salem witch hunt. Need to pray for them because they really believe that it's real, but it's demonic. And then he goes on and he says this. Are y'all good? In a similar fashion, when people say they see things that they really don't see, that others don't see, what are they actually seeing? Now watch this. The only way that we can, in the physical, see something visibly is to have a light source reflecting from a material object to our eyes. That's the only way we can see. Okay? And it says, which then sends a signal to the brain saying, hey, you're seeing something, okay? Satan and his demons are spiritual beings. They do not have a material substance. Y'all following me? When people say, I saw the devil, I saw this. No, you didn't. You saw something demonic. You didn't see the devil because he don't have a material, he's not a material person. Boy, this is getting deep up in here. Listen, Satan and his demons are spiritual beings. They are not, they don't have material substance, so we cannot see them or any spiritual being with our physical eyes. We can see them with our spiritual eyes. I got a scripture for you. You remember when Elisha and Gehazi was out, and they woke up, and Gehazi, the servant, saw all those soldiers around him with swords, and he's like, he wakes up the prophet, and he says, man, we're surrounded, and the Gehazi got prayed for. Elijah said, Father, in verse 7 in 2 Kings, he said, Father, open up his eyes so that he can see what's really going on. And so spiritually, his eyes was open, and he could see the spiritual realm. Elijah was walking in the spiritual realm. He already saw it. So I'm not saying you can't see things in the spirit realm, but I am telling you that you got to be careful saying you see things all the time when you really don't see things all the time, or it's demonic. Y'all shake your head like yes if you follow me. Okay. You got questions, you can ask somebody else later, because I'm... Listen. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. We know that. Ephesians, that's what it teaches. So we do fight spiritual battles. Matter of fact, we don't fight against flesh and blood. So these thoughts and all these things that are coming against you, a lot of that is Satan himself, his imps, trying to deceive you, trying to tell you that this is real and speaking to you because you're listening to him Did he not talk to Eve in the garden? Did he not tell her, oh, God knows that if you eat of this fruit, you'll be as smart as him. You'll become just like a god. He spoke to her. Some of you have heard voices, and it's been satanic voices, and you've taken it as godly voices, and it don't line up with the word. If it don't line up with the word, it was the devil. You need to understand that. If it don't line up with God's word, it was the devil. I might not be preaching anybody in here, but somebody's getting it. I hope you're listening, because this is true. Amen? Hallelujah. You remember in Acts chapter 9, verse 7, I've got this wrote down. The man that heard the voice, you remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus, and the Bible says that Jesus knocked him off his horse. And all the men, it says in verse 7, chapter 9, verse 7, all the men there heard the voice but saw nothing. Why did they hear the voice? Because it was the voice. Everybody heard the sound wave come through, bounced off their eardrum, went to their brain. They heard a voice, but they saw no man. So I'm just telling you, if you're hearing voices in here, if you're seeing things and stuff, you need to plead the blood of Jesus. And there's seven steps of freedom at the back of this book that you can be walked through. And we're going to go through it as a church once we get there. But if you need it early, we can take care of that too. Because we want you free. God wants you free. Look at your neighbor. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, God wants you free. If you're not free, he wants you free. Y'all ain't looking at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. He wants you free. And there's so many times in the church people's not free. Okay. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to get done here in a minute. I don't want to give you so much a choke you to death. I just want you to be able to get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 8. Some of you've heard me talk about a lot of this stuff, maybe not in this detail or this depth, but this is true. Verse 8 of chapter 5, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing, we're rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, when you die, there's a difference between your brain and your mind. Your brain is made of matter. And when you die, that matter is going to go back to dust. But guess what? Your mind lives forever. You say, how do you get that? In the Bible. What does it say? It says in John, I've got it wrote down here, in Mark chapter 9, verse 48, it talks about death. It's actually talking about Gehenna, which was the garbage dump in Jerusalem. They knew that to be the garbage dump. There was a perpetual fire there all the time, and there was dead bodies, dead animals, garbage, and all this stuff. And that was another word for Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, which is hell. And when he's talking about the worm dieth not, it's not a natural worm that eats your body that don't die, because your body is not going to be eat up anyway. It's going to be on fire, and it's not even going to burn up. It's talking about your mind. Where the worm dieth not, your mind's not going to die. Look at the rich man. When he looked up in hell, what did he do? His mind wasn't dead. He knew everything that was going on. Matter of fact, he knew so much, he said, send Father Abraham to go tell my five brothers not to come to this place. Your mind's going to know. Do you not think that people in hell are going to know that they missed it? All the times that you or me or somebody else shared with them the gospel, all the times that God told them, you need to stop this, you need to stop this, you think they're just going to sit down there and burn and not know why they're burning? Boy, it's some deep stuff, ain't it? Our mind is very powerful. Our mind's going to be forever. Our brain's not. So we got to be careful what we put in our mind, what we put in our spirit that gets to our mind, in our brain, everywhere, however you want to say. You got to be very careful. The thoughts that you entertain, you got to be very careful. And always remember, I've told you this, always apply everything that you're thinking, everything that you're doing to the Word. I could care less what an experience is. I've shared this before. An experience don't trump the Word of God. I don't care if you've cut 14 flips and spit nickels out of your mouth and you prayed in tongues backwards or whatever you want to tell me. If it don't line up with the Word of God, it ain't true. Amen? Everybody good? I'm glad y'all good because I'm real good. Go to Mark. I'm going to stop there. I've got more, but I'm going to stop because I want to talk to you for a minute. You got to be very careful what you let go in your mind, because when it goes in your mind, it gets in your spirit. You got to guard your mind, guard your heart. And if you're sitting out here tonight and you say, I've had this experience and I believe this and I've heard tons of stuff. I've had people say, just like with Glenna, this was a spiritual thing. Glenna, when she was pregnant, she was reading In This Present Darkness. You remember? I know you remember because it happened to her. She was reading In This Present Darkness, and when she was sitting there, a spirit of fear came on her, and she was like trapped by a spirit of fear. When we went to Africa, there was 25 people. Me and another guy was out in the hallway kind of watching out for everybody. We was trying to sleep, pray, and all this stuff. And the spirit of fear came on a couple of the people. We was praying one night from 6 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning, walking the halls praying. Roger Stiles, we did not even realize it. His wife, Debbie, didn't even realize that he wasn't out there. I don't know how we didn't realize it. Maybe God just didn't want us to realize it. He was in the bed, and a spirit had laid over top of him. He's a Christian. The spirit laid over top of him and held him in the bed, and he was trying to speak. The pastor the day before had told me how to break that spirit. I go in there. They start yelling for me, and I run in there, and Roger's laying there. He's white as a ghost. His mouth's wide open. And I prayed over him, rebuked that spirit, and he jumped up, pulled a sheet. He said, Jesus! He said, I've been trying to scream Jesus all night. How long have y'all been out there? 12 hours. 12 hours. But people don't think it's real. It's real. It's real, real. The spirit realm is more real than this realm we're walking in. And when you start talking about it, it'll start showing up. But we're going to, y'all listen to me, we're going to be a church that when it shows up, we're going to deal with it in love. We ain't going to accept it. We ain't going to let it walk around with thinking it's right. We're going to deal with it in love, and we're going to walk them through it and teach them what the Word of God says about freedom, because they've been bound up long enough. Amen? If you got a problem with that, you need to come talk to me, because if I ever find out somebody mistreats somebody that's in bondage, I will be ticked. Because we want them free. We don't want them jacked up worse and leaving our church thinking our church is a bunch of haters and all this and going to another church that's going to be haters. We're going to be lovers. Haters of sin, but lovers of people. Y'all stand with me. Let's pray. Father, I love you, and I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Let every man be a liar. Let every experience be a liar, but let your word be truth. God, I want freedom in this place worse than anything. I want every person that walks through those doors back there to walk in freedom, to find their place with you. That's the perfect, for a pastor, that is my heart's cry, is that everybody that walks through those doors would find their purpose and find their destiny in you, not in the church. We want them to work in the church and be using the church, but I want people to be happy in you, to know who they are in Christ Jesus, to know who their daddy is. And God, there's people that's going to be brought in. There's people that's coming in here. They don't understand. They've never been taught the truth. They've been lied to. The enemy has lied to them. Churches have lied to them. Nobody's ever wanted to deal with their stuff because their stuff is hard to deal with. God, bring them in from the north, south, east, and the west. You've equipped us to do that. You've given us the authority to do that. And we're wanting to do that. So you bring them in, and we'll do the best we can through Holy Spirit power to see people walk in freedom. God, I thank you for Neil Anderson. I thank you for this book that you had to give him and had to lay on his heart. It goes right along with the Word of God. It just gives us some steps to use. And God, I thank you for that. And I pray if there's anybody in here that's not walking in freedom, that you would set them free, that they wouldn't take this as hate or trying to be accusatory or blaming them for anything, but just letting them know that, hey, we want you to walk in truth. We want you to walk in the Word. And so whom the Son sets free, free is free indeed. We're not supposed to walk around in bondage. So I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Y'all good?